All right, we just played a game where you were connecting with each other as the big shark, right? Or multiple sharks or five-headed sharks or whatever. And that is really kind of the heart and soul of tonight's topic is connecting. Connecting with God. Connecting with God personally. Did you guys know there are a lot of religions in the world, a lot of faith systems that believe in a God and believe in even connecting with that God, but a lot of them aren't personal at all. But that our God wants to know you, wants to be your friend, wants to lead you and guide you and help you. He's also almighty and all-powerful and could kick your butt if he wanted to, okay? But we have a God who wants a friendship with you. And there are not a lot of religions and not a lot of faiths in the world that believe in a God that wants to have a friendship with people, a relationship with people, right? Did you know God's story could be summed up this way? It's a rescue mission. A rescue mission of love. That if you love someone, say in your family, or maybe it was a pet, and that you would risk your life to save that family member or to save that animal. Okay? That God loved the planet so much that he sent his son as a secret agent on a mission to rescue people, to bring them back together. Ever miss somebody? Been away from someone that you liked for a while? Okay? And then how did it feel when you got back together and saw him again? Does that feel good? Imagine what it would be like that we've been separated from God. Imagine what it would be like someday when we get to heaven and we're reunited with the creator of the universe, the God who made us, who's been waiting and waiting and waiting for you and him to be back together again. Isn't that kind of cool? God's rescue mission for us, this idea of connecting with God personally. Remember our vision and our mission for our youth group was this idea of reaching up and reaching in and reaching out, right? This one tonight is about this idea of reaching up to know God. Now, here's the thing. I was just at soccer practice with Devin and Dre, and they had an interesting question in the middle of practice. We have a secret word each time we meet. You guys like secret words? Our secret word was knowledge. So I think it's interesting that we want to reach up to know God. What's the difference between knowing God and loving God? What's the difference between information or knowledge and, like, wisdom? All right, you guys, the devil knows God. The devil knows about God. The devil knows the Bible. But does the devil love God? No. Does he have a relationship with God, a friendship with God? No. They're enemies, right? The devil was an angel who wanted to be God and tried to overthrow God. And God kicked him out and said, no, I'm God, not you. You're a created being. I'm the creator. Here's the thing. To know God in our mind mentally, but also to love him with our heart. God wants both. He wants your mind and your heart. Because today's topic is going to be a lot about knowledge and knowing. We're going to use our mind a lot, okay? I've even got Bibles around, some on the back table, some on the bookshelf, some on the ping pong table. And when you open it up, you're like, wow, this is a lot of information, okay? It is, but I don't want you to lose sight of this point tonight, the whole idea of connecting with God, okay? So I want to illustrate it in an interesting way. You ready? Have you guys ever seen this before? Long time ago, teenagers like you built it. It is, it's this. It's the foundation. You see that? Our youth group's mission and vision is this, that by the time you graduate out of the group, okay, you're a senior, boom, and you graduate, just like we just had a whole bunch of friends leave, that when they walk out the door, they know what they believe and they know why they believe it. Did you know when I grew up in the faith that I kind of just followed what my mom and dad said? But when I got to high school, I started to think about and ponder questions about heaven and hell and sin and life and all that kind of stuff and purpose and try to, all right, well, okay, not just what mom and dad said, well, is it what I, do I believe this stuff or not? And so my hope is that you guys would wrestle with it, embrace it, think about it, pray on it, discover it, and then it would sink deep down inside of you that you would really hold on to some core things. We're going to talk about 8 core things today, okay? In your handout, you've got them. It starts with this, though. Would somebody read the little paragraph on the front? Something about a pyramid.
If someone asked you to build a pyramid, how would you do it? Well, you would probably start with the base and make a strong foundation, then build up from there. It wouldn't make sense to start at the top or the middle because it would be unstable and collapse. In a similar way, we need a strong foundation when it comes to building our faith. If someone asked you, what are the core beliefs of the Christian faith? What would you say? It is a big question to think about, but would you have an answer for them? More importantly, would your answer be accurate? Maybe you would say something about God, Jesus, or forgiveness. But what about the rest? What exactly do you believe about God, Jesus, the Spirit, the Bible, the Church, humanity, salvation, and the afterlife? Okay, so maybe you know a little about these topics, but do you know why you believe these things? As we connect with God personally, it is important to know what we believe and why we believe it.
So I just want to give you a quick visual aid. Think of these things, that these core things we talk about are like driving nails into the foundation of your life. So go ahead, grab a nail or two and just work the edge a little bit, okay? You can hold one yourself or you can do it with a friend. Yep, give it a little tap, 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 and then bam it all the way down. Oh, yeah, that's good. Bam, bam, bam. Oh, that's all right. Just smack it down. Smack it down good. There you go. Nice. Get another one. There you go. All right, now think about this. These nails are like the core things that you believe, right? What do you believe about God? What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about the Bible? What do you believe about truth? What do you believe about how people get forgiven or not, right? It's like these nails going into the foundation of your life, right? So Turner's rocking it out there. Yeah, dude. Nice and steady. It's looking good. Oh, yeah. Send it home. Oh, yeah. Solid. I like it. If we had time, I'd let you all come up and do it, but it might take a little while. And if we're going to do that, we might as well build something cool like a go-kart or something, right? All right, so open your handout up, okay? All right, what do you believe about God? All right, in your handout, you've got a little paragraph, right? We're going to check that out. And then I took the liberty of pulling out a couple of the Bible verses so that you guys might actually be able to find it. If you want to actually grab a Bible and underline some of this stuff tonight, that'd be cool. If you brought one, cool. If you got one on your iPod or your phone or whatever, and you want to pull that out, turn it on, highlight in there, I'm okay with that too. But just don't be texting your boyfriend or girlfriend or figuring out your snacks for later. Okay. All right, so we're going to take a look at God. What do you believe about God? These are things, you guys, check this out. Traditional Christian beliefs. Most Christian believing people would follow and believe these types of things. Does that make sense? These are things that our church believes, and we're going to cruise around here with God. So we believe there is one God, the creator and ruler of the universe. He exists eternally in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who are co-equal. All right. As Christians, do we follow three gods? Do we follow three gods? Some people accuse Christianity as being polytheist or believing in many gods, right? And I would say no. It's really hard to explain the Trinity or the three-in-one aspect of God, but God says he is three persons in one, three aspects of himself, all equally God. Okay, it's a little bit weird. There's not a perfect analogy for it. Some people try to say, all right, well, it's like water. Water can take three forms, right? A solid, a liquid, or a gas. Well, it kind of works. They're all God, but they have different properties, right? Well, then, not a perfect analogy. Some people try to say, well, the three-in-one aspect of God is like a person who is a father, but he's also a son, and he's also a grandfather. Or a mom who's also a daughter who's also a grandmother. Are you with me? Like a relationship thing. And that's okay, but it's still not quite what God is. Here's what you need to know. We don't believe in three gods. We believe in one God. He's united, okay? He has three parts of him, okay? That you've got the Son, which is Jesus. You've got the Holy Spirit, which is Spirit. Hard to, you can't grab the Spirit. The Spirit lives in us when we put our faith in Jesus. And you got God the Father, who's reigning over the whole thing. All right, still, you know what? My human brain just kind of goes, okay. I can't quite grab what that looks like, and maybe when we're in heaven, we will someday, all right? For now, I need to just, all right, okay, God is these three parts in one, all right, cool. And he's one God. So let's take a look. What does God say about himself? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, okay? He was there before everything else, okay? Here's what you need to know. God wasn't born. Nobody made God. He's always existed. He pre-existed. He was before creation. He's the creator. Make sense? Okay, yeah. God, creator. Here it says in Deuteronomy 6:4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is three? No, the Lord is one. Okay, one God, right? There are a lot of religions in the world that believe in many gods. We do not. There's one all-supreme God. This is in Matthew 28. Jesus is talking to the disciples about going out into the world, and then he talks about baptism. Check this out. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of who? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You guys have heard that before, right? But again, God's speaking about himself. Jesus is saying this. All right? And so you got these three aspects of God. And then in 1 Timothy 2:5, it says, "For there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and people. He is the man, Christ Jesus." You got this idea of one God, okay? And Jesus can reconcile. He is the member. He went on the rescue mission to bring us back to the Father and bring us all together again, right? Because we got separated. We'll talk more about that later. All right, so that's, in general, real quick, that's core truth number one. Boom. All right, here's core truth number two about Jesus. Some of you may remember this verse, John 1:1. It says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed. He was with God, and he was God." Who is the Word? That's actually capitalized and is talking about a person. Who's the Word? Do you know? Well, it's either God, the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit, right? It's Jesus, okay? Jesus is the Word, all right? In the beginning was Jesus. He already existed. Did you know, check this out. Might blow your mind for a second. Jesus existed before he came to planet Earth. Before he was born of Mary, he existed. Are you with? This is crazy, I know. Supernatural, right? Jesus existed. The Holy Spirit, Father, they all existed before Earth and people and all that. God sent him. He couldn't send his son if his son didn't exist, right? So he sent his son to be born inside Mary, which is crazy, right? And then he's born sinless, and that's crazy too. And then he goes on this mission to love us and to die for our sins, right? So here it is. Don't take my word for it. In Matthew 1:23, says, "Look." Why would it say look? Well, because it's unusual. Check this out, you guys. Here's something that doesn't happen every day. "The virgin will conceive a child." That doesn't fit with my biology class, right? How does that work? Well, it's supernatural, okay? "We'll give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel." His name means this, meaning God is with us. Jesus is God. Jesus was God. He was also fully human, and people could talk to him and see him and touch him, feel him, and he ate food and whatever, and he died. But then he rose again, which we'll get to in a little bit. All right, so check this out. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. This is Paul talking, and he wants these people. Corinth is a city. He's talking to the Corinthians who live in this city. And, hey, in case you didn't know, check this out. Paul says, "I passed on to you what was most important." Okay? He wants you to get the most important thing he learned is this. "And what had also been passed on to me." Okay, this was passed on to him. He's sharing it with these Corinthians. Now we get to hear about it too. This, that Christ died for our sins. That's good news. "Just as the scripture said, he was buried. And then he was raised from the dead on the third day, as the scriptures say." You guys, you know what's awesome about that verse? We do not worship a dead God. Have you guys seen the movie God's Not Dead? Our God really is not dead. Our God is alive. Jesus is in heaven, ruling and reigning, and he's coming back again someday to gather the people that have been following him. Okay, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be wild. Like, well, what if they already died? Yeah, he's going to bring them, all the people of all time that have put their faith in Jesus. He's going to come back for. The cool part is, you guys, we do not worship a dead God. Muhammad is dead. I'm sorry. Okay? Elvis is dead. You know? Gone. Sorry. Right? Okay? Yeah, I know. Not the same caliber, right? We worship a God who's alive. You're like, where are you going, Larry? You just need to step down now. Okay, no, that's good. So, all right, you know where that came from? I heard this African-American preacher, and he started telling this story about this guy who got up and was like, "Moses is dead. Elvis is dead. Jesus is not dead." Okay, anyway, sorry. That was free. You can pay me later if you want to. Yeah, okay. Ephraim Smith. That's from Ephraim Smith. Good guy. All right. All right. Here's about Holy Spirit. All right. We did God. We did Holy Spirit now. We did Jesus already. This is number three. Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit's weird. Can't touch him. Can't see him. It's invisible. It's spirit. What do you do? What's the Holy Spirit? Before we even read this stuff, what's the Holy Spirit? It's a spirit. It's God's spirit. Okay. So maybe you can feel his presence. Okay. Yeah. It's mysterious. It is. All right, so we're going to take a look at what John 14 says. It says, "And I will ask the Father." This is Jesus talking. He's going to ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. You guys, check this out. When you put your faith in Jesus, The Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. And then you're like, that's creepy. I don't want to be possessed by something. That's weird, right? Eh, it's not creepy like that. It's like your conscience in your mind reminding you of the things of God. You ever felt convicted? Like, oh, wow, I knew better. I shouldn't have done that. I know God didn't want me to do that. Or all of a sudden you like have a verse come in your head about the Bible and you're like, oh, wow, I just called my brother a super big blah, blah, whoop, bleep, bleep, bleep. And I probably shouldn't have done that because God reminds you of Ephesians 4. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And you're like, anybody ever been convicted like about something you did in your behavior? Okay, now everybody has a conscience, but this is different. This is God's Spirit speaking in our hearts, reminding us of his word. All right, here it is. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, check it out, will teach you all things, will remind you of everything I have said to you. That's in John 14, 26. Here's the last one in Romans 8, says this. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. Did you know we all have this nature inside of us that wants to do wrong? And if you've given your life to Christ, you put your faith in Jesus, it says you don't have to give into that power anymore. You can have control and power over it, and the Spirit can guide your life instead of your sin nature. That's actually really good news. Ever have a hard time quitting sinning? Me? Yeah. Ever have sins you just keep doing over? You know better, but you just keep doing them over and over. And you're like, oh my gosh, why can't I learn this lesson? You're not controlled by the Spirit if you have this. Or sorry, you are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. If you've given your life to Jesus, put your faith in him. All right, so we've done three. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, boom. All right, let's cruise now to four, the Bible. The Bible's a really unique book. You know what the Bible actually says about itself? That it's living and active. That's pretty wild. Not an ordinary book, not just an encyclopedia collection of great stories, not like a super giant novel series like Harry Potter. Okay, it's different. It's awesome. It's better. It's written over hundreds and hundreds of years. It's written by many, many, many authors. And 66 books, it's a collection of letters and poetry and narrative all weaved together, all doing this one thing, pointing people to God. It's all about connecting. That's what our topic is tonight. The Bible is this gigantic love story about how God loves you and wants to connect with you and wants you to connect with him, which is pretty amazing. Here's what the Bible says about itself. All scripture is inspired by God. Another translation says, all scripture is God-breathed. That's kind of a different visual in your head. And is useful for teaching and what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. And it straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. 2 Timothy 3:16. Man, the Bible can be more than just a roadmap, more than just a guidebook of morals. It points you toward a relationship with God, which is awesome. All right, so 2 Peter says this. All right, you ever wonder how the Bible got written and if it really was human authors, if Moses wrote part and David wrote part and Paul wrote part, like, couldn't they just, like, exaggerate? Or couldn't they just, like, I don't know, like, use, like, extra words or make it mean something different? Like, are you with me? Like, if it's written by these humans, how does that work? Well, here's what God says about that. It says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. It says, for the prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Check this out. The Holy Spirit guided these human authors in what they wrote. We don't just have a random collection of fantasy stories. They're factual stories about what happened. They're interesting, but they're also powerful and accurate, and they're from God. They're not just Joe Schmo went off into the wilderness and wrote a really long book. Okay? Can I give you an example? There's some other faith in religions that one guy wrote their whole book, and it's kind of twisted. It's just this one guy's opinion about spiritual stuff. Are you with me? This is not. How could you have all these different offers agree about God and Jesus and faith? It's pretty cool. All right, here's the last one, Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. What's the Bible good for? It's a flashlight for life. You guys ever get stuck in the darkness? Stub your toe on the bed or step on a Lego brick or, I don't know, stumble to find, like, the light switch? Or you're out camping and you got your batteries die and you can't see where you're going and you trip on a root and eat the dirt. I don't know. The Bible is supposed to be this light so we can find our way, which I think is pretty cool. All right, so that was four. All right, here's humanity. What do you guys believe about the nature of people? All right, thumbs up. Is the nature of people in general good, or is the nature of people in general bad? Thumbs up or down? Okay. It's either in the middle or down. So nobody in the room is saying, yeah, we're really good. Okay? You guys, check this out. Might be a shock to you, maybe not. You can't get to heaven by doing good stuff. Being a good person isn't the way to get in. Now, we have funny campfire songs, right, about, oh, you can't get to heaven. Yeah, remember that? In a pink canoe. Oh, you can't get to heaven. In a pink canoe because God's favorite color is baby blue? No. Okay, all right. It's a joke, right? But the truth is this. You can't get to heaven by doing good things, by doing good deeds, by being a good person, by hoping that your good outweighs your bad in the end. God says that's not how it works. Here's the truth of it. You're born this way. You're born with a nature that's corrupt. And if you don't believe me, check this out. It says in Genesis 1:27. Oh, sorry, good news first. You were made good first, and then we went bad. All right, so God created people in his own image. God patterned them after himself, male and female. He created them, and we were good. Yay. And then three chapters later, Adam and Eve sin in the garden. Boo. Everybody say boo. Boo. Yay. Boo. All right, yeah. We could do, like if I had puppets, we could do, yay. Boo. Yeah, all right. All right, so God loves us, he made us good, and then he gave us this awesome thing called free will. Free will! Unfortunately, we chose poorly. Any Indiana Jones fans? Chose poorly. Everybody say, Adam chose poorly. Yeah. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. You guys remember that one? Don't believe me? Hang out with a two-year-old for a while, and you tell me if they have a sin nature or not. Right? Anybody ever babysat? There are some bratty, nasty, whiny, grumpy, selfish kids out there, okay? You don't got to teach a kid how to sin, okay? They can go to school their whole life. They learn that one straight out of the womb, okay? Boom. Sinner, sinner. You guys are like, wow, that's creepy and gross. Yeah. All right. You can fire me later. Okay. So Romans 5, check this out. When Adam sinned, this is weird, I know, because you guys don't know Adam. I never met him. It's like thousands of years ago. Okay. When Adam sinned, check this out, sin entered the entire human race. All the kids born of Adam and Eve had this disease of sin passed on. They were like the prototype test, and they failed the test. They were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, real life event. They were given free will. They were like the sample of human race at the time, and they didn't pass the test. They disobeyed God. And we, for all time now, are stuck here doing this. Adam's sin, guess what? Sorry, brought death. All of a sudden, death entered the world and disease and all that. And so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. You guys, here's the bad news of it all. It's like the entire planet has cancer. The crazy part is 90% of the planet doesn't know it. And the other crazy part is most of them don't know there's a cure. And the cure, check this out, is free. And you all know about it. You know what your job is this school year? Share the cure. I'm totally serious. Your friends have got a disease of their soul, and they need the cure, which is Jesus, and you know about Jesus. Tell them that there is a cure, that they have a sickness, and that they can be forgiven. You guys, check this out. One day, it's all going to end. Hell is real. Heaven is real. There is an afterlife. That's going to be coming up in our next thing. I'm going to kick myself for the people that I could have told and didn't tell. Are you with me? I don't want to live with regrets. Grab a hold of your life and start sharing it, man. All right, so here we go. That was humanity. Salvation. This is the good news part, man. You guys know John 3:16, a ton of you, right? You could probably stand up and recite it to me, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life, right? It goes on and says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. A lot of people think Christianity is a bunch of downer, no fun, no party, no hangout, no cool stuff, and that God is angry with everybody. Not true. Look, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. What did he do? He came to rescue it. He's the guy on a mission, right? But he says, did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Pretty cool. All right, that was John 3, 16 and 17. You guys know this one, Romans 6, 23. Remember that? For the wages of sin is death. All right, who was here for that? I feel like I'm talking to a wall. Yeah, a few of you. Okay. What is a wage? It's what you earn, right? You guys work a job, you get what? Money. Okay? You know what you get for your sin? You know what you earn for cussing and swearing and lying and cheating and being disobedient? Death. Spiritual death. Disconnection from God. All right? And then it says in Acts 4, I love this, for Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures. Check this out. There is salvation, that's good news, in no one else. Nobody else. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not doing good things, not trying to be a good person, not all these other false gods, not Zeus, not whatever, okay? Greek mythology, like people believed in that stuff. And God's like, look, no one else. There's no other name in heaven for people to call on to save them. There's only one that was sinless. It was Jesus, and he died for you and me. That's pretty cool. All right, so that was truth number six. You guys, I got to pause. I feel like I'm running out of time, but I just got to pause. That's what our youth group's about. It's connecting with God. It's forgiveness. It's salvation. It's a relationship with Jesus. You know? Eternity. That's a big word. How often do you use the word eternity? You're like, I've been in this class for eternity. I'm stuck in this house for eternity. Yeah, it's like eternity is like a punishment, it seems like, right? Like we use it in a negative way. Like I'm so bored on this car ride. Yeah, it feels like eternity. Or you won't stop talking and it's making me beg for eternity. I don't know, like, yeah, what is that? Eternity is about the afterlife. Check this out. Everybody on the planet is going to live forever. Their soul, not their body. Their body's going to croak and get sick and be buried someday. That's kind of morbid, right? But everybody's soul, you guys, is going to live forever. Did you know that? Where they spend eternity, where they spend forever, is decided while you're alive on this earth. Your chance to decide your destiny for later is now. And so guess what? You can pick. You get a choice. You can choose life or you can choose death. You can choose heaven or you can choose hell. You have a choice. God says, look, my gift of Jesus Christ's death for you on the cross is free. I will forgive you if you put your faith in me. If you don't, I'm sorry, you'll have to pay your own penalty. It seems kind of fair to me. If Caleb had a death sentence because he had murdered someone, okay? It makes sense to me if in that state or in that country that was the penalty, well, Caleb kind of earned it. But what if someone wanted to take his place? What if Lindsay said, I'll take your place, Caleb. I'll take your punishment, okay? And Caleb got to decide, am I going to accept Lindsay's offer or not? And he's like, sweet, get out of jail free, get out of death row free. Yeah, Lindsay dies. Sorry, Lindsay. For Caleb, Caleb gets to go free. How do you think Caleb's family or even Caleb himself would feel about Lindsay's sacrifice? Wouldn't you kind of feel indebted to her for, you know, yeah, that's pretty awesome. You know what? It was her own life to give. She showed love in an awesome way. You guys, all right, I know it's pretend. I know it's not going to happen like that. But check it out. Jesus took the death penalty on every one of your heads and said, I'll pay it. You just have to ask me to pay it. Why wouldn't you ask him if it's free? Obviously, it does cost you something to follow God. But it's amazing that God offers it to us. All right, so check this out. If you don't believe heaven and hell are real and judgment is real, check this out. Revelation 20:12 says, I saw the dead. This is John, had this vision. God let him see the afterlife. Wild. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. God on his big throne, right? And the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the things written in the books, according to what they had done. Did you know someday you will have to give an account to God for your life? The choices that you made, the things you did. That can be a scary thought. Here's the cool part. If you've put your faith in Jesus, if you've asked him to forgive you of all your sin, then you're in this book of life it talked about. And your judgment has been paid by Jesus already. Is that good news? Yeah. Scary if you have not done that. And that, wow, oh my gosh, I'm going to be held accountable for all the crap I've done in my whole life. That's going to be a bad day. Yeah, it is, right? All right, here's what it says in Matthew 25. It says, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The evil, the wicked, the people who didn't follow God in this life, they're going to eternal punishment. Hell is a real place. And guess what? It's not pitchforks and fire and like that. It's like torture. Day after day after day for eternity. Torture. It's not fun. It's not like Halloween. It's real. And it's a place we don't want to be or go. And we have a choice. Because the righteous, those who choose righteous living, those who choose Jesus, go to heaven when we die. And that's where I want to be. That's where you want to be, right? All right, that was 4 minutes, wasn't it? All right, 1 minute to do the church. Woo! All right, it says, and the church is the body of Christ, is filled by Christ who fills everything everywhere with his presence, Ephesians 1:23. This is a weird analogy. The church, this youth room, the building, the people, are the body of Christ. Oh, Jesus, that's kind of weird. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, you're the hands and feet of God on this planet to go do his things, okay? He's not here right now, like, on the planet. Jesus isn't on the planet, right? But his spirit lives in us, and he says, I'm leaving you in charge now. Go into the world and be the hands and feet of God to everyone you see, and do that by loving them, right? And caring for them and sharing about my love for them. So isn't that wild? The church is supposed to be this, like, this mobile station to go out into the world and do this stuff for God. All right, check this out. The first church, this is a description of the first church that met after Jesus died, rose again, went back to heaven. Church began, and it starts with, in Acts 2, it says this, and all the believers met together constantly, shared everything they had. They sold their possessions and shared the proceeds with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, and all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. Is that a kind of a cool picture of the church? That's not necessarily a building. That's just people loving each other, working together. What would it look like if you had a friend who didn't have enough lunch money day after day after day after day? So you sold your Xbox and you gave him the money so he could have food all year. That's unusual. Or what if you had a girl who wore the same outfit every week, week after week after week? She only had about 3 or 4. And what would it look like if you sold a couple pairs of your shoes, and you gave her some money so she could get some new outfits. Do you get the idea of people working together, like, and caring for one another and making it all kind of work together and be cool? All right, so you just learned real fast in about 30, 35 minutes, 8 core truths of the Christian faith. Raise your hand if you learned something new today at all. Anything new? Okay? Okay? Raise your hand if it just resonated and reminded you of some stuff you already knew and it was helpful. Okay? Raise your hand if it was, like, way too much information. Okay? Yeah. So I get that, all right? I get that. Can I pray for you guys? I want you guys to just grab a hold of that God loves you and that wants you to connect with him, and then we're going to break to some groups. God, I want to thank you for the teenagers in this room. I know it's a lot of content tonight, but, God, would you just remind them how deeply you want them to connect with you, that you love them so much? And if anybody's in the room tonight, if you want to call out to God tonight and ask him to forgive you, put your faith in Jesus tonight, I'm going to give you a chance right now. You could change your eternal destiny from hell to heaven right now and just say these small words. Say, God, I need you. Jesus, I put my faith in you right now. I believe that you died on the cross for me and that you rose again. Would you forgive me of all my sin, past, present, future sin, all of it? I'm sorry for my behavior. Would you forgive me, and would you help me to follow you? In Jesus' name. And for the rest of us, God, would you help us connect with you? Would you help us to grow deep roots in you? And would you help us to live for you this school year in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Cool.